Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
To help Brian and his staff do what they want to accomplish.
Well, I mean, that's our job. You know what I mean? No matter how you look at it, you know, kind of going back to like what Nick was saying, just in terms of final say, like whether whoever has final say, like our role in personnel, we're in the service business. We're here to provide a service for the coaches and be able to identify players that give them an opportunity to be the best coaches and implement their systems. So for us, like we talked about a couple months ago, the big thing was being able to get the coaching staff in fresh, get our scouts in, and we all got on the same accord, you know, immediately, just in terms of what it looks like to play in those systems on offense, defense, and special teams, and the coaches being able to clearly, you know, give us those instructions of what it looks like. And so we spent a lot of time working on it as a group, and then A-Rob and Salgi and the guys put together a scout school for the scouts, you know, to go through every position and what it looks like. And, you know, so for us, we have the clear instruction. We know what it looks like, and now we can go out and effectively do our job.
Stoney started with no designation. I guess your hope that he can work himself back into a position where he can punt for you in week one?
Yeah, and I think, you know, and shouts out to Stoney. He's probably spent more time in this building than anybody, you know, this offseason. He was legitimately 7 days a week. You come in on a Sunday not expecting to see someone, and you see Stoney walking through because he's getting treatment or he's doing things. So it was important for him to be back. And, you know, the work he's put in, he's been punting on his own. He's been kicking the ball, you know, really well. So the next step in his rehab process is, you know, being able to feel some pressure. You know, obviously you're not hitting him or touching him in practice, but that's the mental part that he has to take next. And if he's on PUP, he can't get that, you know. And so it was important for us to be able to, you know, put him out there so he can start to get the feel of the game. And it's the natural, you know, next step in his recovery.
And what went into his son, what you guys like about him, and kind of could he even, you know, be in the mix as far as the right tackle is concerned?
Yeah, he's versatile. You know, he's played both tackle spots. He's played guard spots. And a lot of it was on a whim, you know, him coming in as a backup and being forced out there. And he's played pretty well. It kind of goes back to the question I was asked earlier about coaching and, you know, the relationships he's played under, you know, under Big Coach before. And so, again, you have a guy. Our room is relatively young, you know, in there. So now you have a purveyor of the message. You know, he's kind of one of the elder statesmen, if you will, in the room, and he knows what it takes to play and to work every day under Bill Callahan. So he'll be able to carry that message. But he's a guy that, you know, in the grand scheme of things, we got two spots that are, you know, going to be competitive, and everybody on this roster is going to have a chance to earn those spots. So as long as he stays healthy and he's out there on the field, he has a chance to start.
And as you start the year, any thought on DeAndre Hopkins and extending him? Like, have you talked to Kelton and those guys about that at all?
We've identified a number of guys that, you know, we'd like to continue to move forward with, you know, and eventually take care. But you guys have heard me, you know, we're going to keep family business in, you know, in terms of talking about their contracts and what's next for them. But we as a staff, we have identified some guys that, you know, we'd like to have here, you know, long term.
Is DeAndre one of them?
He's one of the guys that's on our team, and and we've talked about a number of guys on the team to have those conversations. You know, one thing I appreciate about D-Hop is if you guys have gotten to know him, D-Hop is straightforward. And, you know, and D-Hop and I, we can have some straightforward conversations, and we have and we do. And so D-Hop knows how we feel about him. You know, and I think that's a big thing, especially for a veteran, you know, at this stage in his career. And I think the way he's shown up here, the way he's bought into a new staff, kind of shows how he feels about us and what we have going.
Guys, good. When you were down in Mobile, did you get to interact with Kyrie Jackson at all? And if so, like, what are your thoughts on, you know, the tragedy?
Yeah, so we, you know how we do the interviews at night with a lot of the players. He was one of the guys that came through that, and, you know, interaction with him was, he was a good kid. You know, he had a good interview with us. You know, sad what happened. Very, very sad what happened. Heart goes out to his family, you know, to the Vikings organization. But our interactions with him at the Senior Bowl, it was good.
You understand a huge task this offseason to, one, upgrade the talent on the roster, but two, fit personnel to new schemes in all three phases. After going through that process in 7 months, as you start training camp, how close did you get to maybe the dream board that you would have had up 7 months ago?
I don't know that you ever hit the dream board, you know. And we talked about it. There were a couple guys that we targeted during the free agency process that we didn't get. But it allowed us to, you know, move in a different direction and get someone else that we didn't anticipate being able to get. I never went into it with a, you know, let me get all these guys. It was just about mixing and matching the best pieces, right? And just understanding how many draft picks that we had and knowing where we had to get to for that. But then being able to take advantage of where we were from a cap space, you know, to get as many good guys as possible. I feel really good about the work that we did. And the guys that we've acquired, because I think they fit us and what and who we are and what we're going to be. So I feel really good about that. But as you know, the process isn't over. You know, we got to set the roster, you know, here in September. But like I said, we're sitting there with the seventh spot in the claiming order for a few weeks into the season. So we're going to, you know, keep churning it and keep working until we get the right mix.
Were you offered a fourth that could have turned into a third for Derek?
No, I wasn't. I don't know where that came from. That's not my concern. But we had multiple teams, you know, to call about Derek and offer something that wasn't worth taking or worth even considering. And I communicated that with Derek during that time. But no, we never agreed with anybody to do anything to move anybody.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
All right. A little
peek behind the curtain.
A little shot there at
whoever.
I guess the Ravens, because they were the ones that said the deal was on the table for a trade at the trade deadline last year between the Ravens and the Titans that would have involved Derrick Henry going to the Ravens for a fourth round pick that could have became a third. That was that last drop in, and Rank Carthon saying no, that was not the case.
But he did say
that they got a lot of offers.
They got a lot of offers, but it just wasn't worth it. So that fourth round could have been one of those offers that wasn't worth it, and they decided to keep Derrick Henry. So I guess two things can be true. DaCosta saying, yeah, there was a deal on the table, but just because you sent over a proposal and a deal that laid on the table doesn't mean that we decided that we were going to take it. You offered it. We looked at it and said, nah, we're going to keep Derrick Henry. So, I mean, both things can be true. I can't see DaCosta, you know,
just
lying.
Making it up
out of thin air. But
that
then
was
I can't
specific.
See, yeah, I can't see Rand Carthon just saying, no, that didn't happen. It had to be somewhere in the middle where, yeah, you got the proposal and was like, like Rand said, it wasn't good enough. We're going to keep Derek.
Yeah, so, because I would say that the way that the article was worded was kind of implied, it didn't say directly, but it implied that
the deal
Rand Carthon was okay with it, and then the higher ups nixed it.
Yes. That's what it
so
makes it.
So that's what, and so when Rand says, "I don't know where that came from," somebody probably tipped him, has told him about that article.
Of course, somebody.
It sounded
told him about
like he wasn't completely taken aback by that question.
No, that article came out, somebody took it to his office or texted him and say, "Did you see this article?"
I'm sure.
You know, so I mean, yeah, so I can see it both guys having truth in their answer. One, there was a contract we sent over, a proposal, contract, whatever you want to call it, and the other was like, nah, we didn't agree to anything, no. Mm-mm.
Yeah, so that, of course, is water under the bridge.
Yeah, it's water
at this
under
point.
The bridge.
Okay,
yeah, it don't
so
make a difference now.
Let's deal with what I think came out of today's press conferences. First, Brian Callahan, then General Manager Rand Carthon with a little assist from Anthony Robinson, who was fielding some of the questions as well, the assistant GM. You're listening to Willie and D. Mace here on 102.5 The Game. So there were a couple of things You have to weed through some of the philosophical questions and, you know, how you're going to handle practices. Here are a couple of bullet points, I would say. One, Brian Callahan says he's going to play the starters in the preseason game. That looks like a pretty decent change from
what's
the previous staff. He said the starters will play.
So he's not going to put the quarterback in and run the ball three times
and then take
him
out.
Yeah, he's it doesn't.
Now
seem
he didn't
like
say how much they're going to play, but he said they will play all three games.
And they should, because to me this roster isn't at a point where, you know, we're good. We don't need to see our veteran guys. No, you need to see all of them, because this team, you know, you need to know what type of team you have. You know, when real ball is being played, and I know it's only preseason, but you can get a glimpse of, you know, what you can do and some things you can, you know, how you can do it and who fits where. So will they play a lot? I would tend to guess they will not play a lot, but just having them in the game for maybe a half a quarter to a half, that'd be fine.
Okay, another thing that sort of happened late in the press conference that I didn't really see coming, it looked like the press conference was almost over. Jim Wyatt asked about a general question of, are there any players that you would like to maybe extend? And Jared, I do think, caught Ran a little bit by surprise by saying, is DeAndre Hopkins one of the players that you want to extend? And Ran Carthon kind of thought about how does he want to answer that, and quickly said, he said, DeAndre is one of the players on our team, and then kind of said, look, DeAndre and I have conversations. He knows how we feel about him. How did you interpret that? Is that a yes? Like, he didn't want to answer it, and he shouldn't have to answer it. It did sound to me like that is something that they have to decide. I think it's a very good question, because it goes along with what we've been doing to set the table where they are on the roster. DeAndre Hopkins is an older player that probably is on the back nine of his career. This is not a team that looks like it's ready to compete now, but you need those support pieces for a young quarterback. So do you want him for next year, or is he a trade piece, much like Derrick Henry theoretically could have been a trade piece last year? So how would you answer, how would you interpret in the
wide receiver translator?
I translate that to being, one, I think he was caught just a tad bit off guard, in a sense. But then the way he answered it, I'm not sure D-Hop is one of those guys. I think he's probably leaning toward more younger guys that have been on the roster. And, you know, I'm thinking of who's a young guy that's been here. Hell, they don't have many.
See, that's the problem.
Roger McQuarrie. I would see Roger McQuarrie.
That's the biggest flaw on the roster, is they don't have a lot of homegrown guys that are on the verge of signing a second big contract with the team. They are very low in that area. So you're trying to compensate. So there's two ways you can do it. You can throw a lot of free agent money at veterans and hope that you can find the fountain of youth and keep those guys going, but they're fairly expensive.
But it's
you got to have young guys really young guys that haven't done much yet pop.
But I'm sure the contracts that they're discussing are not big money contracts.
Right.
They don't have big money contracts. Levis is one of those guys too that they're sort of thinking about, because he was a second round pick and his contract is coming up pretty soon.
Right. Let's get back to D-Hop for a second. Jared asked the question because he was going to talk about it some on his show, and I heard a little bit of what he did yesterday. He painted the dilemma. If you're Ran Carthon,
it's not a dilemma.
Well, Jared made the argument. Yeah. Do you lock him up for another year now, so you know that Will Levis, who already has got some games under his belt with a great veteran, do you want to lock him up now, or do you want to let it play out until the trade deadline? And maybe decide, do I want to trade him or do I want to keep him at that point?
I don't think they're thinking
about... I think you've got a little time. I don't think you're in a hurry.
I don't think they're thinking about a trade right now.
Certainly not. But you don't have to decide, do you want him next year?
Yeah,
you don't have
to decide anything. You sign him to another contract early. He gets hurt, then what? What do you do as an organization? Now you're stuck with the contract or the extension that you've... that you've already presented to him, and he, you figure he would sign. Smart organizations, when it comes to older players, they wait unless that player is just playing completely off the charts, and then you want to try to get him early so you don't have to pay him then late. Smart organizations just wait. They're not in a rush. Now, what if he goes out there and you know Ridley's your number one? What if he ends up just having the numbers of a number two? Say if Ridley has 1,000 yards, he has 700 yards, somewhere around there. And then you've probably already signed him to a contract that is paying him north or close to $20 million, if not over $20 million.
This is the thing. That's why the rising tide of wide receiver salaries.
Everybody's screaming about signing. Y'all don't understand where this team is at. And I don't think – take your bias out of it with liking a guy. Because I like D-Hop too. And if you were telling me, if you were giving me some insurance that, okay, he will be healthy for the next 2 to 3 seasons, and these are the numbers that you're getting for an aging guy, then I'm like, okay, I'm all in. Never had any injuries. He's good. I'm all in. Let's go. Let's sign a contract. But you can't promise me that. So why then would I can talk about a contract, like if he does this, if this happens, if he stays healthy, then there's a potential for us to re-sign him to another 2-year contract, which essentially is a
1-year contract.
So we can do that. But there's no rush. Somebody need to explain to me what the rush would be. Like, I could see if it was 20.
You can't go anywhere.
Yeah, I could see if it was 25, 27. Okay, let's lock him up. Let's do it now because it's only going to get expensive once the end of the season comes. But he's not. What is the rush? You went and got your number one receiver in Calvin Ridley. You went and got Tyler Boyd that knows this offense. You have D-Hop that has been here with the quarterback from last year. Let's see how this thing evolves. There's no need to the rush. What if he gets hurt? He blows out his knee. God forbid he doesn't do that. But what if he has a major injury?
Yeah.
Then what? Now you know what everybody's saying.
No. Why did you sign him?
The same people that are saying, sign him now? Again, if he was 25, 26 years old, cool. Do it. But he's 30. And he's getting older. You signed him now. He has the injury. And everybody's screaming, oh, fire Rand. Look at him signing more guys that was already injured when they got here. Right. And look at their reason. No.
I don't think the franchise is going to sink or swim whether you
exactly.
extend
That's what
him
I'm saying.
For one more year or not. I think you can play it out. Jared's point was that you were one of the receivers that had a very good career post age 30.
Yes.
And he might be falling into that category. So is he a horse you can bet on? I see the argument, and the whole idea is you've got to
but
give
our games,
Levis
our
a chance.
Games are different.
Yes.
D-Hop and my game was totally different. You know, what they were asking him to do, they were asking me to do something totally different. I never had any injuries. One injury that put me out 2 games in my whole career.
Right.
One injury that put me, not to say I wasn't injured. I broke a damn scapula, tore rotator cuff, dislocated this, and still managed not to miss but 3 plays. And that's because I had to go to the locker room, get, you know, fixed up and then come back out. You have to be very careful, again, because I go back to this. They just signed Calvin Ridley to this huge contract. You got Tyler Boyd for a year. You don't want to make the mistake. You want to get younger. Everybody in your division is getting younger, and nobody seems to realize that. They're getting younger at the most important positions. And you what? You want to stay status quo? Again, if D-Hop, I'm not saying don't sign him back. But what I'm saying is, why rush the signing back? Now, they may sign him back. I don't know.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is, what would be the rush to sign him back right now? Are you worried about paying him two, three extra $1 million? Hell no. This is a billion-dollar corporation or billion-dollar business. Paying him an extra $2 or $3 million at the end of the season, that's no big deal.
Let's take a related note, and you tell me your wide receiver translation of this one, the Tyler Boyd. Boyd is a related guy, but the question was about Burks, Treylon Burks. Here are the quotes. He's really grown up. He sent us a picture of him with his, quote, new physique. He took things to heart, sort of implying that we had a sort of a talk of, look, this is where we're going. We're bringing in Boyd. I would presume that the theme of it is something along those lines. Mm-hmm. But you've got to prove yourself. He said he is bought in. Mm-hmm. And the other little nugget that maybe you can help it translate is that Burks will play X and Z. Boyd is playing primarily F, which kind of implies that Boyd isn't taking reps away from Burks. That's kind of how I saw it, but tell me what you hear when you hear that stuff.
Wide receiver translator.
What did I...
Because this goes along the lines of Hopkins and Ridley. How do you use Burks?
What did I tell everybody when they signed Tyler Boyd? I said, this means nothing for Treylon Burks. If D-Hop goes down, guess who's going in the game? Treylon Burks. Didn't I say that before?
Yeah.
If Calvin Ridley goes down, guess who's going in? Treylon Burks. Didn't I say that before?
You did.
I said that before. They are putting – people, when I say things, I'm telling you because I've been through it and I understand it. When coach says or Rand says, listen, he's going to play the X, he's going to play the Z. All right. What does that mean? That means whenever that person goes out, Treylon's going in. Not Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, not whoever else they have in there. No, it's him. When DeAndre Hopkins goes out, you know who's going in? Treylon Burks. You know who was in that same position in his rookie season? I was.
Derek Mason. Yeah.
And who was in that same position all the time? I was. When that guy went down, Mason. Stecko said, Coach Stecko, and I love him to death, he was one of the guys that was critical in my growth as a player in this league. When I first got there, I think I told the story. He said, here, you learn X, you learn Z, and you learn H. And I'm thinking, I was the fourth round pick. Why I got to learn all this stuff? Shouldn't I just be learning one position and let me get used to that? I wasn't your first receiver taken. But he was doing it for a reason. He understand I had the mental capacity to learn all of these. And that if anyone went down, I was inserted in. Derrick Russell went down. Guess who was thrown in the game? Derrick Mason. Why? Because he knew all these positions. That's Treylon Burks. They want to find out if Treylon Burks can play, if he can help this organization. Here's the caveat to that. If he shows that he can be a guy, D-Hop will not be signed back.
Why you win.
Yeah. If he doesn't, then now D-Hop becomes more of a figure in what we're going to do moving forward.
It's a much better pathway
exactly.
to what you need your roster to be if Burks emerges here.
Exactly.
And so you don't like what you've seen the first couple years, but this is new. I hope they give him a pathway.
Well, they're giving
to
it
be
to him.
They're giving it to him.
You play X,
like
you play Z.
It sounds like there's some optimism.
Exactly. As much as we rotate these receivers, as much as I hate it, me, as much as we rotate these receivers, you're going to play a lot. You're going to get your opportunity. Make the best of. That's what they're telling them. You've been in great shape before. We understand that. You've bought in. You bought in last year. That's what they're telling you. What we need to do is see it on the field. That's all Rand Carthon is saying. Yeah, he's bought in. Yeah, I've talked to him. Yeah, he's sent physiques. Yeah, all that is good, Treylon Burks. I love all of that. But you know what you need to do? Stay healthy and produce on the field when we get going. That's all.
A couple of more notes that I think are worth mentioning. And we're going to talk to Tim Hasselbeck, get his thoughts on some of this stuff here in a few minutes. But they did say that only two players will start practice on the PUP. So that right there, I'm sure, is something that, not that they'll pat themselves on the back, but that is something that they set out to do. Mm-hmm. How many times in a row in training camp have we sitting there and said, well, this guy's out, they got all these quit. They were telling us not to panic in the OTAs. Mm-hmm. Only two players will start on PUP. Colton Dowell, who was on the reserve PUP, so he's the one guy.
He got hurt at the end of the season. Yeah.
Nicholas Petit-Frere, active PUP, and Brian Callahan said it should only be, quote, a few days before he's in there. So he'll be in the mix with a bunch of people trying to sort out the offensive line. And we don't have enough time to try to sort out what all that means right now, but he did say that competition is going to go on maybe until the week of the first game before they decide who is going to start. They want the old-fashioned throw them all in there,
yeah.
See who emerges. And he said, I hope it doesn't take that long.
Yeah,
but there is going to be some competition. He said, you might see some starters one day who are our backups the next day. We're going to try some different things. So that is something to note. And I don't know what Jared's going to do today. He probably had a lot of time parked for Devondre Sweat to not be cleared to play.
Oh, he passed the test.
But, you know, it was like the Ron Burgundy when he tried to news team assemble, and his news team was right there. And they were like, well, what about Devondre Sweat? He's good to go. He's good to go. No issues. He's good to go. He's right there. He's good.
That's all you need.
So after all that, now we'll see, right? Everybody's now going to watch. Mm-hmm. Can he string together practices? Can he stay out there? But
at least
Anthony Robinson, look, I was talking to him. We went through the process. We talked about him as a person.
Mentally and physically. Yeah.
But somewhere along the line, he has prepared himself to be ready to go in day one. So hats off to him for that. Yeah.
Kudos to that.
Because that was not a given.
Yeah, because that was the biggest sort of question mark. Not whether he can play or not. We knew the dude's an Outlook Trophy winner. He's a flat-out stud. He was a stud in college. The question mark was, can he keep his weight down? And can he pass the test? Well, he passed the test.
Sounds like he passed the test. Yeah. And Ryan Stonehouse, pleasant surprise. I think Good I was a Ryan. Little yeah. – I was thinking he might be on PUP. They said he worked very hard in the offseason. He should be good to go. They want him to feel pressure. Mm-hmm. The next step of the process, he's punting, but they want him to be around, you know, have it more game-like conditions. So Ryan Stonehouse, obviously a weapon who can boot it. Mm-hmm. The punter who got injured in the infamous game where the special teams coach got fired the next day for all those block punts, and he got hurt. He is good to go to start training camp. All right, let's regroup. Let's talk to Tim Hasselbeck. We'll talk about some of the other things Brian Callahan discussed with his offense in his opening press conference on opening day of Titans training camp. Stay tuned. We're coming back here on Willie and D-Mace. I'm Braylon Hasselbeck. Back here on Willie and D-Mace, here on 102.5 The Game. And it is time to talk football with Tim Hasselbeck. William DeMace, of course, brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 and up in Tennessee to bet. Opening day of Titans training camp. We just heard from Brian Callahan and Rand Carthon. A lot of places to go with Tim. Just a couple of quick headlines if you joined us late. Devondre Sweat did pass, and he is ready to roll, quote-unquote, ready to roll for the first day of training camp. That was something we all were wondering. Only Colton Dowell and Nick Petitfrere are on PUP, but Nicholas Petitfrere, who's in the running for the right tackle position, is on active PUP. Brian Callahan saying it probably should be only a few days before he is able to take the field and practice. So that will be something to focus on. So let's start there, Tim. When the quarterbacks know that there are some good competitions going on the offensive line, how does that affect practice day in and day out?
I think they know it typically means it's going to be more intense, right? A lot of times when you get to training camp and coaches will talk about competition and guys fighting for jobs, I can't tell you the number of teams that I've been on where you look at it and you're like, how many are really up for grabs? Like, are there three positions up for grabs? Like, even in some cases, making the roster. It's why one of the most dangerous things you can do as a player, if you're not one of those guys, is like start counting spots. But I think generally speaking, when there is, legitimate competitions, look, this is how you make your living. And so with that being the case, you expect there to be good energy, good effort, good attention to detail, and honestly, a good product in terms of, how somebody performs. So when that's going on up front, I actually think that it helps increase the level of intensity, at every practice. And then in terms of how it affects the quarterback, look, the quarterback shouldn't be concerned about like, hey, can this guy hold up or not hold up? I think if anything, you should be encouraged by the fact that, guys are, having to prove that they're earning a position in front of you. They're not just being placed there.
Brian Callahan did say, he said, be ready to watch. There will be days where the starting the starting unit is different when we have a competition. He says we're going to go through it for as long as it takes until we find the right five. Have you seen different ways that teams have done that? Do they start with guys and let them play their way out, or have you seen them mix it up from time to time? I'm wondering how they arrive. What's the best way to arrive at the top five?
Well, I think you have to mix it up because you think about what you carry during the season and then what you carry on any given game day, right? Like, you don't have 10 offensive linemen in uniform on game day. So you don't have a backup at every single spot. And so I do think the best thing to do is be prepared to have situations where you say, okay, you know, our starting left guard might also be our second best right tackle. And so rather than just the guy going in at right tackle, who's quote unquote the backup right tackle, it actually is better to put a guard, you know, in that left guard spot and then move that guy to right tackle. Or, you know, our left tackle becomes our right tackle because, or vice versa, our right tackle becomes our left tackle because we feel more comfortable with someone going to right tackle. So I do think it's a good idea to be in a situation where, like, the puzzle pieces are, you know, somewhat endless in terms of, you know, how you can fit a group together. And obviously cohesiveness and getting guys, you know, enough reps together is important. But at the same time, like, you need to make sure that you're always putting your best five that can play together out on the field.
We'll talk with Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst and head football coach of the Innsworth Tigers. Now, we had a conversation, and Rand talked about potential guys that he could potentially sign or guys' contracts they have been talking about this offseason. And I'm sure it has been veteran guys or guys that are still on their first contract in regards to rookie contracts. How do you think you approach, because you've talked to GMs and you've talked to head coaches, how do you approach a veteran guy that is sort of aging out of a team that you want to get younger? Do you typically, are they looking to sign guys early in the season, or are they typically waiting to see what goes on and then sign a guy back?
Yeah, you know, I mean, obviously there's been a few different approaches to this. I think the way the Eagles used to do it was, I guess they still kind of do. I think the Chiefs are doing it, you know, now to an extent. Like, if there's a young guy and I'm like, I know we can play, like, I'm getting on it now. Like, I'm signing the deal now, because the way the deal is going to age, it's going to end up working out. And, you know, and I think that, you know, veteran players, kind of to your point, guys that are aging out, like, they see what's happened. Like, you don't have to tell them, right? Like, they end up, you know, kind of seeing what's happening, you know, at various positions when young guys get paid. And I think, and D-Mace, you know this. I mean, I was listening to the show talking about, you know, injuries before the wide receiver translator, by the way, which is an amazing segment. But the reality is, like, you know, like, for you, like, you played a long enough time that there were times where you knew, like, hey, they drafted this young guy to take my job. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. And, like, nobody was coming up to you and be like, yeah, you know, we think you've lost a step. Like, no one was telling you that. Like, they basically told you that when they drafted somebody at your position. And then what you did, and this is what good players do, is they go, yeah, that's great. And I'm actually going to play so much better than that young guy that you're going to have to re-sign me anyway. You know, like that's the business of this. And so I think, like, the old guy approach to it, I think, just has to be a totally different perspective.
Now, how much do you think, what's sort of the happy medium for Will Levis in regards to what Brian Callahan and that offensive staff is going to put on him right away? Because you want to take him slow, but not slow to a point where you're sort of holding back your offense because you're trying to get the quarterback acclimated to what you want done. And Brian Callahan talked about, you know, knowing when to throw the ball and everything else, helping with his accuracy. But how much do you put on a quarterback early on in a new offense as opposed to, you know, holding back and sort of letting him work through it day by day?
Yeah, I don't think there has to be any restrictions that are coming from Will Levis, and here's why. Mm-hmm. You know, his time with Liam Cohen, you know, is going to, like, there's so much carryover in terms of similarities, scheme-wise, timing-wise, things like that. Even you know, a volume of verbiage-wise, even if it's not the same thing. Like, Will Levis is experienced. He's experienced a version of what he's going to get in this new Callahan West Coast offense, right? Mm-hmm. And so I don't think that he's going to be the one holding them back. Like, I think if anything, it's going to be, hey, is our receiver room, you know, like, can we move on to the next thing? Like, our tight ends, can they move on, you know, passing game concept-wise? You know, or, like, I don't think the thing that's going to be the governor on how much volume they put in, I just don't think it's going to be Will Levis. I don't. I think he's a smart guy. He's been around a similar system. This is not year one. It's year two in the NFL. I think he's going to be able to handle it. And so the bigger thing ends up being, okay, the rest of the offense, are they ready for more? And listen, when you're putting in a brand new system, it does take a little bit longer.
Hmm. Now, did you ever tag along on a trip to Cabo with receivers and a quarterback, Tim, or did you ever take some
Tim, guy? Like, I ain't taking nobody to Cabo. What are you talking about?
I mean, listen, would not surprise me. I mean, Cabo maybe isn't luxurious enough for D-Mac. You know
what I mean? Like, I'd have had him in my backyard.
Did any of the starting quarterbacks you played with ever do anything like that? An Eli Manning or other players that you played with?
You know, like host other guys for workouts and stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like guys always did. Like, I feel like Don McNabb was doing that. You know, he trained in Arizona and he'd get guys to go out there. Mm-hmm. You know, I always thought it was interesting. Like, sometimes I'd be like, does that guy really want to go there? You know, like, I think I first started thinking of it like when Patrick Mahomes was bringing guys down to Texas to train. And, like, I don't know where they were, but I kind of just remember being like, that's interesting. Like, if I were, you know, Travis Kelce, like, do I want to spend part of my off season in West Texas?
Like, can I have some pictures of where we're going to be staying?
Can we go near some water or something?
Is there a pool down there?
like, could you have found a different spot? You know, so look, I think it's great that guys do that. I think it's good for camaraderie. I think it's just good for the general relationship. It's obviously good to get the work, but I feel like the biggest benefit is just getting to know your teammate better.
Yeah, it is. We had a chance to do that. And you're right. Donovan used to do it all the time because Joe Flacco, myself, Anquan Boldin went there and, you know, Fitzgerald was there.
Now, where is where?
That was Arizona. Yeah, right outside
not
of
West
Arizona.
Texas.
Yeah, it's not West Texas. It was right
so
outside
it was a
of
nice,
Arizona
nice
State.
Layout. You
yeah,
guys
it was a nice
to
layout.
There.
They had a nice layout up there.
Hey, here's what's crazy about it. I was actually just with Larry a couple weeks ago. Like, here's what's crazy about it. Larry, in the summertime, he goes to Minnesota. Mm-hmm. Like, you guys going to Arizona in the summertime. Like, it's the worst.
Wait a minute.
Like, what are y'all doing? That's backwards.
You should go the other way. Yeah.
Hey, Tim, the USA Today came out with their sort of, and this is the first one that I've seen, and Willie echoed the same thing as far as their predictions, Super Bowl and everything else. And I'm not going to get into the whole NFL. I'm just going to get into the AFC South. This is the first time that I've seen, and there hadn't been many, but if you listen to the Talking Heads, this is the first time I've seen that someone has picked opposite the Houston Texans. On this one, they have the Indianapolis Colts winning AFC South at 11-6, but they have Texans finishing third at 9-8. Why do you think there's so much? And listen, we can point at the quarterback in Richardson, and I get it, but he doesn't have enough time or tasks for me. How can you sort of reconcile or sort of defend this 11-6 and them winning AFC South, meaning the Colts?
Well, let me say this, and I'm going to preface this by saying, you know, I'm a Vanderbilt. I'm a parent of a Vanderbilt student. I'm pro all Vanderbilt sports. Look, there was a poll that I think some people voted Vandy to win the SEC.
Yeah, two people.
You sure that wasn't you?
They got two voters, so somebody
you and Willie.
Somebody's on the island with whoever.
Hey, listen, I might have been one of them. You never know. So I'm like, not being critical. Like, listen, anchor down. I'm going to have my, you know, my black and gold on, you know, on Saturday this fall, okay? Like, trust me, I'm in, okay? I'm all in. But sometimes some of these voters get a little crazy. Okay, you do things that you wouldn't advise. So I guess some of that. But look, in terms of like the optimism on the Colts, mm-hmm. I think because look, he's a freak. I mean, that Anthony Richardson is a freak. Like that, and I think that people are more encouraged than discouraged based on like the little.
He means that in a good way, people.
Yeah, like listen, I look like from a talent perspective, mm-hmm. like he might be the most talented quarterback in the NFL. Like physically talented. So I think there's an element of that, you know, that has people excited. And then I think what I would say beyond that is that is a pretty good roster. Some of the drama they were dealing with a year ago, they're not dealing with that anymore. And really the season kind of got a little bit out of sorts because of, you know, the injury at quarterback and kind of finding their way. And then ultimately, like, they still were a team that was making some noise late in the year. And so I do think that they are a team that, listen, they could be way worse or they could be way better than they were a year ago. So to me, that's what someone voting in that you know, that way on them. Look, I don't expect the Texans to take a step back, though. I think it's too many things, and they've added too many other players that are proven players for them to take a step backwards.
Tim, real quick, before we let you go, Brian Callahan was asked about the two running backs, Tajay Spears and Tony Pollard, in sort of a who's going to compete for the starter. He says, I don't look at these guys. I look at them not competing with each other. I want to use them both. I look at both of them as starting players. Even said, I might use them together some. How do you see this tandem working? Because it's going to be a major question whether people have really centered in on it yet. Or not, because so much attention is on Levis. But in the post Derrick Henry, there's a lot on those two guys to produce.
Yeah. Well, first off, now that I'm a coach, I'm totally stealing that coach speak answer.
Yes. I mean, take note.
I'm going to credit him the first time and then act like it's mine every time after that.
As long as you gave that credit time,
it's in the back of the book, the bibliography.
Exactly. So, you know. Listen, look, they're two very different backs. They're not the big bruiser that Derrick Henry was. It has to look different. They have to use both guys. And I think he's talking to them through the media when he answers that question to say, hey, man, like, don't get worked up about who takes the first rep because that doesn't mean you're going to get the most touches in a football game. Like, to me, that's what that is. That's a coach talking to his players through the media in a way to say, like don't get sideways on this thing. Like, you guys are both as valuable as the next guy and critical to our success. So, and then I think what that looks like is, yeah, I think both versatile players. And I think there's some you know, things you can do in the run and pass game when you have guys that have unique skill sets, which both those guys have.
Quickly, we got to get you out of here. But when do y'all start up, Tim?
Hey, man. High school. Hey, man, like, this is good. We actually go to training camp. Mm-hmm. Next week on Monday, Jeff Ferris, who's the new head coach at Austin Peay, gracious enough to host us out at Austin Peay for training camp. They have awesome facilities. They have a new indoor facility, and so our guys are excited to be out there, you know, at training camp at Austin Peay, and then, you know, we'll come back and kick off our season on August 23rd.
Ching, ching. You know who got money. You know who got money. I tell you, you can't hide money. You can't hide. Hold on, Tim. Chase is going to get real mad at me. But how many high schools go away for training camp?
Hey, listen, when you have, you know, former, you know, parents of students like Derek Mason, guys that vacation in the French Riviera, find a way to
you can do what you want to. You can take them anywhere. I get it, Tim.
Hey, listen, by the way, Chase, it's never going to get mad at you for blowing through a break to keep me on long.
Oh, yeah, you're right about that. Y'all best
friends. They're best
friends. Yeah. My bad.
Tim, excellent stuff. Good timing coming up after the press conference. There's a lot to chew on. We'll talk to you again next week, and best of luck as you get your team rolling.
Absolutely.
Thanks. See you guys.
Mm-hmm. All right, Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN. We'll come back and wrap things up and look ahead to Jared's show coming up next here on 102.5 The Game. About to pass the baton to Jared Stillman. He was over at the press conference, so he'll be ready to break all this stuff down. I got a quick text I want to hit you with, D-Mace, before we sign off. On our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, he heard Rand Carthon say, I've been talking to GMs around the league at what positions we're deep in and what we're thin at, and then trying to bounce that off of other GMs. What are you guys looking for? What are you thick at? What are you thin at? What positions are the Titans deep at?
I would say wide receiver. The three frontline guys, and you add Nick Westbrook-Ikhine in there. You got to add Treylon Burks in there. I think they have some good depth at the wide receiver position, especially proven guys. And I'm talking about the top three guys.
Yeah.
Cornerback, there is some depth there in the secondary. Now that you added Adams, and again, you're still trying to figure out. It seems like he's going to be a starter the way, Rand sort of positioned the answer. Seemed like he's going to be a starter, so they do have depth in the back end, sort of the corners and the safety. I think that's the only two positions where they have depth.
Yeah.
Other than the special teams.
And on the other side, he said, we have the seventh position for the next several weeks on any waiver. Anybody that hits the waiver wire, they have the seventh crack.
Mm-hmm.
And so he did say he will be on the lookout. Maybe there's an edge rusher. Maybe there's another offensive lineman they like.
That's where they got to get some people.
Yeah, so they're looking for depth. There's no question about it. So that'll do it for us on the first day of training camp. We'll continue to cover it on a daily basis. This is where you want to be. 102.5 The Game. We're back at you tomorrow at 11 a.m. Stillman and Company coming up next.
Be love, love on your people. Have a wonderful and happy Tuesday and peace.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.